Hey, y'all. I'm Brian.
And I'm Angela.
And we are the Aarons. So this morning, we would like to talk to you about be humble and just how the, you know, God has revealed things to us, what it is to be humble. Mm. And even in times where you think you are being humble, how you can, if you unpack it, if you use the Bible as your scale, as weighing your words, as weighing your actions, how that actually can line up into being prideful.
Mm. Yeah.
And yeah, I'm excited to get into this today.
Me too. I like what you just said, using the Bible as a scale to measure your words up against. That's good for my heart to hear that. That's a good visual. I like that. That's encouraging. Use the word as a tool to measure your heart and your words up against. That's really good. Thank you for that. Okay, so be humble. Humility and being humble is sometimes really hard because, you know, I think sometimes we get all up in our flesh and it's easy to just see a bigger vision or to have a picture in your head of what you think things should look like or what you even dream things would look like. But the question becomes, do your dreams and your vision align with God's? Because mm-hmm. if not, then pride seeks in.
Right.
So what God has taught me this week is the opposite of humility is pride. And honestly, pride is something that I struggle with. And I didn't even realize that I struggled with it in this way until this week. So pride, I was doing some research and just looking up some things. And, you know, pride can be defined as putting your own thoughts and opinions over God's.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that your ways are better than his. Or, you know, pride can be kind of defined and look several different ways, right? So, you know, for someone to say like, I am just the worst, or, you know, I need to just get my life together, or I need to get it together. I need to humble myself. I say those things a lot. Like I say, gosh, I got to get my life together. Like I say, man, girl, get it together. You failing again. I say that to myself a lot. And so what the Lord revealed to me this week is that I am actually being prideful in those statements because I'm starting to question who I am and how he created me.
Mm.
So I'm allowing my circumstances around me to make me feel less than and to make me question why he made me the way he did. Because if he made me this way, then I could fit in better. If he had just made my mouth a little different, if he had just made my thought process a little different, God, why did you make me this way? Why did you make me with such a strong will to move forward? Why did you give me such a strong will to speak my truth and what I see? Why did you make me this? Why did you give me vision to see things two different ways? Because I'm seen as negative if I speak this. And why do you do? And I'm wrestling with the Lord on these things. And I am questioning why he made me this way and feeling like and allowing the enemy to make me feel like if he made me a different way, then I would fit in better. If he made me a different way, then maybe I would just be quieter. If he made me a different way, maybe I wouldn't have so many questions and then I wouldn't be seen as a burden to people. Or maybe I wouldn't be an annoyance to people and I wouldn't be a whatever. Insert said negative death speaking words here. And that is what has been happening to me lately, y'all. Like I have a... And so I'm coming from a place of, okay, well, I just need to humble myself and be different. That is a lie straight from the pits of hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't go, sorry. I
just speak this over you because what that does is it makes you question your voice.
Yeah.
It makes you question, should I even say something in this situation?
Yes.
And, you know, God didn't give you a spirit of fear.
No, he did
so
not.
He gave you that mighty power that comes from the Holy Spirit. So as long as you check your heart, as long as you check the motives.
Yes.
Then, you know, God is speaking through you. So, I mean, the worst thing you can do is humble yourself or like falsely humble yourself into quietness.
Yes. Thank you. And so with that, it brought up, so I've been reading this book. It is 40 Days Towards Healing and Wholeness, Waking Up to the Goodness of God by Susie Larson. Guys, highly recommend that you buy that book and that you read it and that you let it speak life into you, because Susie Larson, if bless you, like, thank you for letting the Lord speak through you in this way, because you have really opened up some things in my life. So Lord, thank you for bringing this to my life. And thank you, Susie, for being obedient in what God is asking you to do. And so just, I just want to speak that out. So thank you for that. But Isaiah 45 came up in the study this week. And Isaiah 45, it's talking about the Creator. So in the NLT version, in verses 9 through 12, it says, "What sorrow awaits those who argue with their Creator? Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it, saying, 'Stop, you're doing it wrong'? Does the pot exclaim, 'How clumsy can you be? How terrible it would be if a newborn baby said to its father, 'Why was I born?' Or if it said to its mother, 'Why did you make me this way?'" Y'all, that's what convicted me so much. Mm. That right there, because I literally said that to the Lord. Why did you make me this way? This is, so then back to the verse, this is what the Lord says, "The Holy One of Israel and your Creator, do you question what I do for my children? Do you give me orders about the work of my hands? I am the one who made the earth and created people to live on it. With my hands, I stretched out the heavens and all the stars are at my command." That's Isaiah 45, 9 through 12. And that brought me to tears this week, y'all. He is the Creator and he made you exactly as he wanted you to be made.
Yes.
You are fearfully and wonderfully made, as it says in Psalm 139, 14. And I have allowed my pride to think that I know better than the Lord. I have allowed pride to sink in and to not be humble enough to know that he created me exactly the way he wants me to be. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be different. I don't need to change how I see things. No. He has given me vision and discernment for a reason. I am his ambassador. You are his ambassador. He has given you a purpose. He has given you life. He has given you the authority to go out and tell people his good news. And he created you exactly the way he wanted you to be and put you exactly in this position. The problem is we don't humble ourselves enough to see it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is we don't humble ourselves enough to allow him to be the Creator. We don't humble ourselves enough to allow him to speak into what he's done to us and how he's made us. So that convicted me so much this week. So I fell to my knees and I cried out to the Lord and I apologized profusely for not humbling myself enough to see that I am exactly how he wanted me to be.
Mm.
You are God's masterpiece. And that goes back to week two that we talked about, be you. You are God's masterpiece, as it says in Ephesians 2:10. You are God's masterpiece. Do not question your Creator. Do not allow that side of pride to sink into your heart, because you are made exactly how he wanted you to be.
Yes.
He is doing a good work in you. He is making you new, and you are meant to do good things. And if you humble yourself enough to allow God to speak into you and to allow God to lead you where he wants you to go, then your vision will start to match his vision. And you will go farther than you ever imagined.
Amen.
And your vision will be small in comparison to what he has in store for you. But first, you have to humble yourself. You have to remember who you are and who he is.
Absolutely. And while you were saying that, and beautifully, and just
that's the Lord. 100%.
I know, that's what I'm saying. And honor God and then honor you. So it's kind of going back to the scale, and it's. And then my brain went to math.
Okay, that's all right. Let's go to math.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So there's two sides with pride. So it's either taking yourself out of the equation or making yourself the answer to the equation.
That's so good.
So it's either you, and it's hard to wrap your mind around that by saying you're not worth it, that's prideful.
Right.
Because it doesn't, I mean, if you match that up against the world, that doesn't make sense.
Right. You're right.
But it's the fact that humility is setting aside your own vision for God's vision to flow through you. So it's setting aside your worldly ambitions to allow God to work.
Mm.
So if we're doing either one of those things, if we're saying, God, I'm not worth it, you know, just find somebody else.
Mm.
You know, it's, you know, I don't have everything. You know, who am I to do this? And to that, it's God gave you gifts. And you know, we've talked about that.
Yeah.
God gave you gifts for every situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
God will put you in situations. So it's either that you don't think you're worthy of being in that situation.
Which is not for you to say, by the way.
Right. Or you don't consult God before you go into a situation.
Yeah.
So then it's the other thing, that you're the answer. You feel like you're the answer to the equation.
Ooh, that's another side of pride. That's dangerous.
So, and then that kind of just, those two things work against each other.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where Satan steps in. You know, Satan wants to unbalance your scale.
Yes, he does.
So he wants to say, okay, you know, self is over here on one side, and God's truth, God's word, you know, the Bible is over here.
Mm-hmm.
So Satan wants you to fill up your self bucket or
yes.
your self scale to where you're lopsided, as opposed to trusting and surrendering and humbling yourself before the Lord.
Mm.
So, and if you think about it, I mean, there's not three pieces. It's either self or it's God.
Yeah.
So you're lopsided in one area, and it could be those two things. So it could be that you're removing yourself
mm-hmm.
and just saying, God, go find somebody else. Or you're saying, eh, I got this. Don't worry, God, you know.
I don't even need you.
I'm good.
That's really good.
And that takes me into Philippians 2, mm-hmm. 3 through 4 in the Passion Translation. Be free from pride-filled opinions,
mm.
for they will only harm your cherished unity with God. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests.
Wow.
So as we go from self to God, we remember that it's not about us.
Right.
You know, we talked about Miss Cindy before.
Yeah.
Her famous quote.
It's not about you, boo.
There you go. That's the other thing, is that Satan can get us so twisted on ourselves that we stay internal when God wants us to go external.
Yeah.
That we remove ourselves from the equation. We remove ourselves from the opportunities that God provides for him to be glorified.
Wow.
So yes, God wants us to humble ourselves, but it's so he can work through us, not but to say, oh, well, you know, look at me. I'm humble. You know, I'm eating, you know, basically you could say humility, or you could disguise yourself as humility when really all you're doing is just kind of, it is more of a show.
Yeah.
You know, it is more of, look at me. I'm not doing this, you know, to the point where it's, again, you get wrapped up in pride.
Yeah.
When it's trust God, surrender. Look at others.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on how God is calling you to help other people.
Yeah, that's really good. And that makes me think of Proverbs 18:12 that says, before disaster, the heart of a man is haughty and filled with self-importance, mm-hmm. but humility comes before honor. That's the Amplified version. Before disaster, like that's a hard word to read, right?
Yeah.
Like pride leads to disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So right before you're about to tear your whole life apart is when you're filled with self-importance and you're haughty. But before, you know, humility comes before honor. So God will honor your humility.
Mm-hmm.
And newsflash, y'all. God knows your heart. So whatever it is that you're trying to portray to the world, God knows the truth. Mm-hmm. So if you're standing somewhere and you're speaking to a group of people, or if you're around your group of friends or whatever it is in your walk of life, and you're like, I couldn't do any of this without the Lord. Your words are truth.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't match what's in your heart.
And your actions.
And your actions, exactly. Then that is still prideful. Mm-hmm. So you need to take time to sit in that. You need to be still. We're going back to week one. You need to be still in the Lord. And you need to focus on who you are in the mm-hmm. Lord, as so we said in week two.
Be you.
And you need to be you. And you need to allow the Lord to change you from the inside out. And you need to carve out, or he needs to carve out, he needs to carve out what is prideful in you on either side of that scale mm-hmm. of pride. Whether it's, you know, I'm humbling myself and diminishing myself at the same time and making myself less than because I'm tearing myself down because I now know better than the Lord. I don't deserve forgiveness. I can't even forgive myself because I don't deserve it. Stop. Mm-hmm. That's not for you to say that. The Lord says it is finished on the cross. He right. forgave your sins, all of them. So you don't get to say that I don't deserve forgiveness. Mm-hmm. You don't get to say that. You don't get to decide what to be forgiven for. That's the Lord's job. Mm-hmm. You don't get to speak into who you are. That's the Lord's job. No one determines your worth but the Lord. Right. No one else gets to tear you down. No one gets to say to you, you are this. That's lies. Mm-hmm. You don't even get to say that to yourself. You have to humble yourself enough to let the Lord speak through you and to you. So you have to, like, oh my gosh, y'all, I am fired up today and I can't even get my words out. There's so many things going through my head. I love the Lord so much. Like, I've been in the Word since 5 a.m. and I'm like, let's go.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I'm focused. I'm a squirrel.
No,
go ahead.
You're
go
doing
ahead.
Great. No, and that takes me, it just makes me think of Colossians 3:12, again in the Passion Translation. You are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself with virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others and be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. All includes yourself.
Yeah.
So you are called to be compassionate, showing kindness to yourself.
Yeah.
Self-deprecation is not a gift from God.
No, it's not.
Let me finish the verse. Be gentle and humble, yes. unoffendable in your patience with others.
Yikes.
So again, it's, well, let's just stay on what you're called to do with yourself in that one. I mean, again, it's, you have to understand yourself before you can hope to understand other people.
Amen.
So you're called to do that, to give yourself mercy. You're called to be compassionate, showing kindness, be gentle and humble.
Tell me what verse that is again. I'm sorry, I missed that at the beginning.
Colossians 3:12.
Colossians
in the Passion Translation.
Okay, thank you.
So we can't hope to do that and show that for other people if we can't do that for ourselves.
Yes.
So be kind to yourself.
Amen.
Be compassionate. Again, self-deprecation is not a gift from God. We have to believe who God made us to be.
Amen.
Before he can use us for other people.
Yes.
So then in that, we have to treat, again, greatest commandment, we have to treat others as we would ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But if we haven't gone through this process of humility, of knowing, of being still, of knowing who you are, not because of the what the world says, but because of what God says.
Yeah.
Being intentional in that. Being intentional in your humility.
Ooh, that's good. That is really good. I'm looking through this book, y'all. Forgive me. I'm trying to find what she said. I've read Susie Larson again this morning, and I'm trying to remember exactly what she said. But your words matter too. Like speaking life into yourself mm-hmm. and speaking life into others, it matters what you say, y'all. Like your tongue is like a wildfire. It can spread wildfire, and what you say, how you say it, your tone, with a heart behind it, like all of it is what sparks either a flame of help a flame of like passion and spreading the good news of the word, or what starts a forest fire that destructs and tears things down. Mm. So you've got to be careful with your words.
Yes.
You've got to be careful with what you say. And when you humble yourself and allow the Lord to speak through you, then your words start to match his words. You say what he says.
Mm-hmm.
When you humble yourself before the Lord, you allow him to speak for you.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit fills you, and the fruits of the Spirit can flow through you. And, you know, I can sing the song again, but I won't. Like, the fruits of the Spirit can flow through you if you humble yourself enough to let the Holy Spirit lead you. God has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he is interceding for you. Jesus is interceding for you every single day.
Yes.
And the enemy is trying to convict you every single day. So if you humble yourself before the Lord and you allow Jesus to do what God called him to do, and you allow him to be who he is, and you admit who you are and where he is, and you remember the order of things, and you humble yourself, then your words start to match his words, and you will speak life over yourself. You are an ambassador of Christ.
Yes.
You are an ambassador of Christ, meant to speak God's goodness to everybody. That is the Great Commission, to go and make disciples and to share the good news. The good news that Jesus came and he saved you. He came for you. He died for you. He forgave you.
Yep.
You matter. You matter to Jesus a lot. And he died for you. And so if you humble yourself before the Lord, then you can speak goodness over people. And every little thing that you say matters. Are you speaking life into what is around you, or are you speaking death into it? That's a harsh reality. Are you speaking death into your situation by agreeing with your circumstances? Like what she said this morning, she was praying about, Susie Larson is who I'm speaking about again, y'all, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
She was praying about some illness and some debt. And she said that the Lord whispered to my heart, "So which of your words should I act on, Susie? My promise to provide or your declaration that I won't?" And again, that is found in Waking Up to the Goodness of God by Susie Larson on page 57. She's amazing, y'all. That was an amazing word. But that really stuck out to me today. Your words are a tool for both the enemy and God.
Mm-hmm.
So when you speak life and you stand in agreement and you humble yourself enough to believe in faith what God is saying he's going to do, because his promises are real, what he says in the word is real, he cannot fail. He cannot lie. Those are truths that are said in his word.
Mm-hmm.
So if you stand in agreement with those and you humble yourself to the word of God and you allow him to speak through you, then your words will match his words. And you will start to speak life into your situation. So you will get on your knees and you will pray, "Lord, please, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I know you're capable of healing me.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I know you're capable of getting us out of this financial situation that you're in. Lord, I know you're capable of fixing the mess that is the situation around me. God, I know you're bigger than the mess of all the things that I see and the realities of things failing and tents blowing away." Those of you that know me know that story this week.
Mm.
The tents blowing away and the things of our plans and all the things that we see that we should, you know, see as a failure. You see as a way to make better,
yep,
a way to make it right, a way you can make it right. But if you get on your knees and you say in one sentence, "God, I know you can do this. Lord, help me through this." And then you get up and you say, "But I know I don't see how you're going to do it." Which one is he supposed to go with?
Mm.
Which one is he supposed to bless? The one where you believe him, or the one where you're like, "Yeah, but I just don't see how you're going to do it, so you probably won't." Y'all, your words matter.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to humble yourself enough to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. It is not about you. It is not about your words.
Right.
It is not about what you need to say to people. It is about what God has taught you. Your testimony is his story,
mm-hmm,
for his glory. Your words matter.
Yep.
Even what you say to yourself matters. Don't sit there and tear yourself down.
Right.
I am speaking to myself. I'm preaching to myself today. I am a mess without the Lord, but I have the Lord in me. I am not a hot mess anymore. I'm not. If I'm a hot mess, it's because I'm partnering with the enemy.
Mm.
Y'all, ouch. If I'm a hot mess, it's because I'm partnering with the enemy and I'm not allowing the Lord to speak through me.
Right.
So I got to stop that. We have all got to stop that. We're going to humble ourselves, mm-hmm, and let the Lord do his business in us.
Yes.
That sounded weird. Sorry. You I know what you're talking about. Let the Lord work through you, y'all. Okay, sorry.
No. So, thank you for that.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just, it's powerful.
It's
powerful just to rest in the Lord.
Yes, it is.
You know, so it's all about resting in the Lord so that at the proper time, you have the Spirit-filled energy to do what God has called you to do.
Amen.
Because the other side of it is that we're running around without consulting God, thinking that we're actually doing what God has called us to do, and yet all we're doing is wasting our energy in situations that he didn't call us to.
Oh,
so by the
man.
Time he does call us, we're like, I got nothing to give.
Yikes.
And God's like, well, that's because you've been doing all these things, not in my name, but in your name.
Oh, man, that's convicting.
So again, it's being still and listening to God's instructions, listening to the promptings from the Holy Spirit, which, you know, they're not always audible. You know, it could be, you know, sometimes I get like full body goosebumps and it's just like, it's almost like the hand of God saying, like pushing me to a situation. And if I turn the other way, which I have, if I turn the other way and walk away, even get into my car, then it's just that prompting. It's just that feeling that I can't miss this opportunity. I can't let this go by.
Yeah.
But if we are doing all of this for ourselves, do we stop to hear that? Mm. Do we stop to feel that?
Wow.
You know, because we all do it. We've all felt that. And then, oh, well, I got to get to work or I got to do this.
Mm.
What the enemy wants you to do is to sit in that and to be and to feel like, okay, well, I've done that one too many times. God can't use me again. Okay, again, that's a lie.
And also very prideful because you think you're doing better than the Lord and he can't do something.
Right.
Watch it.
So we heed the convictions of the Holy Spirit. We do not heed the fear, guilt, and shame from the enemy.
Amen.
So if you feel conviction that you were supposed to talk to that person, then pray for God to give you another opportunity.
Amen. And he will.
And the beauty of it is that, again, this, you know, the pride piece would be like, God, let me have the opportunity to speak to them again. But God could be saying, oh, well, you're not the only person that I can use to speak to that person.
Ooh.
So he may have given us the opportunity to speak to that person. We didn't take it. So he used somebody else and they did.
Yikes.
So again, it's how we can get a little bit twisted with our wording. So again, our words matter.
Yeah.
And the heart behind our words matter. So it would be, Lord, if it is your will for me to talk to that person again, please allow me to have that conversation. Please prompt me and guide me in that conversation.
Yeah.
It's the humbling yourself before the Lord so he can lift you up and carry you into that next step.
Wow. That's so good.
So don't take yourself out of the equation and don't make yourself the answer to the equation.
That is so good. I love that.
So Proverbs 11:12 in the NLT. Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. So if you compare the two, pride from Satan, pride is self-serving. Pride will just lead you to a situation where you've run off all your friends, your family has left you to your own devices, and you find yourself in a situation self-made, and that same self cannot get yourself out of that situation.
Yeah.
So you will be led into a situation where it ends in disgrace because it is not yours to do.
Yeah.
But if you humble yourself, God will give you the wisdom to know which situations you are supposed to be in.
Right.
To where you don't make it self-serving, to where you don't look at it and say, oh, well, I think I can bless that person today.
Why?
I think I can do this.
Wow.
Again, it's the power of your words and your heart and your actions that flow out. But it is only by the grace of God that we have the opportunities to show his love.
Yeah.
To humble ourselves to show his love. Because if you think about it, if it was about self, it would be self-gratifying. It would be, hey, look at me. I'm over here. I'm helping this person. I'm doing this. You know, look at how great of a job I am doing.
Mm.
Look at this. When really what it is if you're humbling yourself and you're serving somebody, it could be washing people's feet.
It could be.
It could be stepping into someone else's circumstances and just being with them.
Mm.
There doesn't have to be a camera-worthy moment.
Yikes.
It just has to be a moment that only the two of you are sharing.
Ooh, that's really good.
Because God put you there. God is with you in that moment. No one else necessarily needs to know about it. If God wants it to be known, he's going to make it known.
Wow. Wow. Mic drop. wow. Yeah. Like that also brings up a question of why am I serving?
Mm.
Why am I serving? What's the why behind my serving? Because I have to? Because I'm yelled at if I don't? Because I'm made to feel like I'm a less than Christian or a less than person if I'm not serving? No, that's not the real why. The why is because God is worthy of being Christ-like. Because we are called to be Christ-like, and Christ Jesus was the ultimate example of serving. Christ humbled himself and came down to earth so that he could be our king here. Mm. He took on human form, was born from a mother's womb, and he walked this earth and he served. He could have come in here with his king mighty presence.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have raged through this earth with fire and brimstone and all of the things. And he could have, you know, had an entourage of people and some, you know, security and some all these things, because he's worthy of those things.
Mm-hmm.
He is the Most High King. He is worthy of all the things. But he chose to humble himself and to come into this world the same as you and me. And y'all, that brings me to tears. He walked this earth and humbled himself for you and me.
Right.
So that he could save us, and so that he could be, so that we could see him as he wants us to be.
Mm-hmm.
He led by example.
Yep.
He did not need anyone else to know what he was doing. He did not stand on the street corner and preach out loud so that he could be exalted. He walked to people directly. He walked to the woman at the well and sat with her where she was getting water in the daytime, and he didn't need anybody to know about it. He healed people, and he specifically told them, don't tell anybody that I did that. He didn't need the credit. He needed you to learn how to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
And he served from a very humble place. And he taught us how to be humble.
Mm-hmm.
He is the ultimate example of humility.
Yes.
And the closer you get to him and the more you humble your heart to him, the more you will become like him. You will not become him, because that is not possible. You will not become greater than him, because that is absolutely not possible. But you will become more like him, and your life will start to mirror what his life was,
yeah,
and is, and who he is and who he will be forever, because he doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
He is constant. He is the one constant, and your life can mirror that if you humble yourself. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, and that takes me into, you know, the next passage that I wanted to share, because as you were saying, Jesus shows us humility. Jesus is the ultimate example of humility.
Mm-hmm.
And
I had the verse written down, I just forgot what it was. You got it. You're going to Philippians. Is that what
I was
doing?
Not. I was going to go into Luke.
Okay,
I was
going to
share
the
parable.
You go.
No,
go.
If you wanted to share
go for it. Go where you're going. I'm sorry.
No, not at all. No, I was, because you talked about Jesus, so yeah. I got to share what Jesus said.
Yeah.
So Luke 14, 7 through 11 in the Passion Translation. There's a lot of meat to it. There's a lot of words. But so when Jesus noticed how the guests for the meal were all vying for the seats of honor, he shared this story with the guests around the table. When you are invited to an important social function, don't be quick to sit near the head of the table, choosing for yourself a seat of honor. What will happen to you when someone arrives who is more distinguished than you? The host will bring him over to where you are sitting and ask for your seat, saying in front of all the guests, "You're in the wrong place. Please give this person your seat." Disgraced, it goes back to disgrace.
Yeah.
You will have to take whatever seat is left. Instead, when you're invited to a banquet, you should choose to sit in the lowest place. When your host comes and sees you there, he may say, "My friend, come with me and let me seat you in a better place." Then in front of all the other guests at the banquet, he will honor you by seating you in the place of highest respect. Remember this, everyone with a lofty opinion of who he is and who he seeks to raise himself up will be publicly humbled. And everyone with a modest opinion of who he is and chooses to humble himself will be raised up before all.
Wow.
Again, Luke 14, 7 through 11, that's in the Passion Translation. So as you were saying that Jesus is the model of humility and who we're supposed to model ourselves after.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I had as far as what Jesus himself says about humility.
Yeah.
We are not to raise ourselves up. We are not to put ourselves in positions of power that didn't come from God, because that will result in the fall. That will result in us being in disgrace.
Absolutely.
Now, the beauty of it is that God doesn't want to leave you in disgrace.
That's true.
God wants you to seek him, be refilled, be fueled by him, so that you can operate in humility the next time. It is when we operate out of our own sense of self-worth, as we operate out of selfishness, that we can put ourselves up on the pedestal that allows us to be kicked off.
Wow.
It is when we humble ourselves. It is when we seek God first before words come out of our mouths, before we take those steps that and put ourselves in the lowest position, not out of self-deprecation. Again,
right.
Not saying, "Oh, I'm not worthy of this." No, it's humbling yourself to say, "God, you work through me.
Yeah.
You do your good works in me and through me. I am yours."
Yeah.
It's when we say those and when we have that in our hearts that God can use us. So when you are put in that seat of honor, people don't see you. People see God.
There it is.
That's the difference.
There you go.
Who are people seeing in you?
Wow. I think that's amazing. And honestly, what you're saying reminds me of gratitude. If you have gratitude to just be at the table, it doesn't matter where you sit. If you're at the head of the table, or if you're at the end of the table, or if you're wherever, because God is here for all of us and we are all the same under him. So if you remember that and you can humble yourself enough to remember that, then you're just grateful to be at the table. You're just grateful to be asked to be at the banquet. So it doesn't matter where you sit. You're just grateful to be there. And if that's the condition of your heart, then the Lord will bless that also. So gratitude seeps back in to be grateful for where you are, be grateful for the situations that God has presented you with and what's around you, and be grateful that the Lord is in it. And if you can, be grateful and content with where you are and humble yourself enough to be okay with what you have, because I think also, when we start to feel like we always need more, we're always seeking something else, or it has to be bigger, or it has to be better, or it has to be showier, or it has to be a production of some kind. If we start to go down that road, then we kind of lose track of the humility of just, sometimes it's just very simple. Sometimes Jesus, Not sometimes, always. Jesus is pretty simple. We make it harder than it needs to be, because if we could just be humble and be grateful for where we are and be humble enough to admit that God has brought you here. He put you in this circumstance for a reason, and he has given you the resources that he's given you for a reason. Mm-hmm. If we can just be grateful and content with where we are and what we have, then our heart starts to reveal that, and we pour out gratitude for just being at the table.
Right.
It is a joy and a blessing to be able to walk into a church and serve the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It is a joy and a blessing to go out into the community and serve other people. That is not a burden. That is not something that you have to hold on to as I have to do that. Mm-hmm. I have to go serve, because that is a joy and a blessing to go and serve others. And just a reminder, when you go and serve other people in the community, you're not better than them.
Nope.
You're not coming to rescue them because you're better than them and you have more than they have and you need to prove that you have more than they have. You're coming alongside them because you're the same as them.
Mm-hmm.
You are their brother and sister in Christ, and you are on the same playing field, and you're coming alongside just to help and to show them the love of Jesus. So if you're, you know, asked to serve in your community, if you're asked to serve in your church, if you're asked to serve at your job even, you are asked to serve at your job as you go to work every day. You're asked to serve in some capacity. That is not a burden. That's a joy. And if you can humble yourself enough to remember that God has a plan and a purpose, and he is working it all out for your good, for those who believe in him, as it says in Romans 8:28, mm-hmm. If you can humble yourself enough to remember that God is for you, God is with you, God is working it all out.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's a joy. And that's what starts to radiate from you. The fruits of the Spirit start to radiate from your life, and people will see God in you.
Yes.
And it's not about you. It's about him and the work that he's doing in and through you. So it's the condition of your heart, and guard your heart. And that goes back to be on guard. Yeah, we are just raising it all up together. The Lord is tying it all together.
Yes, he is. He's amazing at that.
He is amazing at that. Yes. So yeah, I'm just blown away this morning by what God is doing and what God is teaching and what God is revealing. And I am so grateful. I'm so grateful that we get to sit here in this moment and see how it all comes together. And I pray that you can see how it all comes together in your life, and that you see his goodness, and that you can humble yourself enough to be content with where you are and what you have and the resources that he's given you, and not ask for more. Not ask for it to be bigger and better, but to be grateful for what you have and where you are in the moment, and to use the resources that you have to their full capacity with joy and gratitude,
right,
and contentment before you go and ask for more, and humble yourself and thank you, Jesus, for what you've given me. Thank you for what this is. Thank you for where we are. Thank you for the trials and the tribulations and the struggles and all of it, because humbly I see that you are working it all out.
Yes.
Humbly I see that you have a plan. Humbly I see that you are greater than me. Humbly I see that you've created me exactly as you want me to be. And God has created you exactly as he wants you to be. So I humbly pray that you will see that and claim that, and let speak life into yourself and to others around you today.
Right. And as you say that, I mean, again, it's not anything that we've done.
No.
It's not anything that we can point and say, yep, that is the moment that I turned it all around.
Yeah.
That is the moment where I was like, yep, that's when it happened. That's when I did it. excuse me. So just continuing with what you were saying, I mean, it just, again, God is so good.
God is so good.
Because the next thing that I was wanting to talk about was, or that I felt God was wanting me to talk about, was Romans 3:22-25, because it's not about us.
Yeah.
It's not anything that we've done. It is understanding that it is all God.
Yeah.
And that by his grace and his gift, that then we get to be instruments of his will.
Amen.
So Romans 3:22-25 in the NLT. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. So again, it's not anything that we've done, that through our works have earned this.
Yes.
It is by the sacrifice and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It is by believing that his blood, his sacrifice, served God's purpose. It wasn't just an empty act and it was, okay, we're moving on. No, it is the act. It is the act of humility.
Yeah.
Sacrificing himself for us so that we have this opportunity. Because apart from God, apart from Jesus, our opportunity is death.
Wow.
That is our only opportunity. Without him is death. So God breathes life into our lungs, eternal life in our lungs, once we believe and accept Jesus.
Yeah.
And then after we accept Jesus, then we go back to weighing our heart, weighing our words, weighing our actions against what the Bible says, against what Jesus says in his life, weighing up against his parables and how he's called us to live, weighing it up against his life.
Yeah.
When he didn't have to say anything, his life spoke for him.
There you go.
And then, yeah, just going back to the fact that people are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life and loved us. I added the loved us part. It's not in the it's not in the verse, but it is the ultimate love from a father.
Yeah.
To make that sacrifice for us when we didn't deserve it.
That's so true.
So don't get, it's easy to get caught up in the don't deserve part. Remember that God made you who you are. God knew who you were going to be before you were ever thought about being born.
Yeah.
So God knows who you are. God made you who you are. God instilled you with the Holy Spirit once you accept Jesus, that the Holy Spirit empowers you with those gifts from God. One of those gifts is humility, is to be able to check yourself through God and say, okay, am I doing this for me or am I doing this for you?
Yeah.
So do that check daily.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Sorry, I had to.
Do that.
Could not say.
I know. Do that check daily. When you get up, when you leave your house, when you go into work, if you work from home, do it before you turn your computer on. whatever and whenever. Do it in every situation. Am I doing this for you, or am I doing this for me, or am I doing this for you,
yeah, God? Right.
And that's where it's, God is not holding his thumb over you saying, okay, you know, you can't do this, you can't do this. No, he's asking you to seek him first and let him show you the way to go. Because again, we earned death. That was our reward before Jesus.
Yeah, that's true.
So if we act out of our own will, what are we going to gravitate towards? Death, destruction, yikes, nastiness.
Wow.
If we humble ourselves and sit in God's presence and let him wash the peace that surpasses all understanding over us.
Amen.
Then we take self out of the equation.
Yeah. It's good. I like that you finished it out with math. That's it's good, y'all. That's how his brain functions. Math, and I love it. Be humble, y'all. Just take a minute and be humble. And just don't take a minute. Take a lifetime. Take us every moment to be humble and allow God to work in your heart and in your life and allow him to shine through you because he is worthy of it all.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. So again, our humble plea is just be humble.